Welcome to the Good Vibes Podcast with Clark Impastato and Ryan G.
Hey, that's my little Robin Williams impression. It is 100% false motivation because we are recording a little bit later than normal. So I had to try to psych myself up a little bit.
Yeah, man. I don't have the energy drink. I'm actually crushing some red wine right now. So,
oh, nice.
Well, it's Saturday. It's Saturday night, you know.
Good, man. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I got a mysterious beverage in my cup.
Amen. See what it is. Mystery juice. Wow. I remember a lot of those back in the day, man. You just mm-hmm. you remember Everclear? Good Lord.
I do.
Oh my gosh. That is the party potion, man. If someone brought some Everclear, you knew it was gonna be a interesting night.
Oh, for sure. Oh, or jungle juice.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That was a big thing. Actually, my wife used to make jungle juices when we'd host a little get together or something, and she would throw in it was like Coors Light,
what?
Vodka.
What?
Yeah, pink lemonade.
Oh my! Now you just want to hurt people. Oh my gosh!
Sprite.
I mean,
dude, it was so good, but it would you would know the next day. Like, yeah, I drank some cheap shit.
I don't understand the Coors aspect of it. I mean,
yeah, it's weird.
That sounded pretty good.
Well, it sounds. She got it from a friend of ours a long time ago, and I was like, "That's not. Why would you mix like beer and vodka?"
I mean, no shit.
Don't get me wrong. I will drink Coors Light to do shots of vodka or shots of anything.
There you go.
I'm like, that's a weird. It was a Halloween party that we first discovered it when they told us what was in it. I'm like, there's no way. Like, I can't taste any of those ingredients.
Coors, but yeah.
It's just the Coors, the vodka, and then the Sprite. And then the pink lemonade mix.
Gosh.
But dude. It tastes so good. It like when you think of the ingredients, like there's no way. Ew,
the bad. Sugar content in that hangover with the beer
that's,
and vodka.
That's what hurts.
Forget about
you.
It.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it now. At mm-hmm. this age, I might as well just punch myself in the dick and slap myself in the face. I mean, forget it.
That's why old dudes just like sip on whiskey on the rocks or something. You
just
can't play with all that shit that we used to play with.
Like, no, pay the price. But
No.
Hey, Vibe Tribe, thanks. We had a bunch of you hit the store this week, so appreciate that. Again, all our merchandise support the show, so we thank you for that. It's still growing, man. There's still some countries coming on board.
It is. It's crazy to see. It's very, very awesome, very humbling, and the feedback, as always, is amazing. Thank you for that. Yeah. Hey, quick shout out to my boy J-Mo out in Colorado. What up, dude?
J-Mo. Ooh, I like that.
It's a cool name, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, automatically you have to have a shot with a guy named Jameson or J-Mo. I mean, that's like man law, right?
yeah. J-Mo's a devil dog, so he would definitely do a shot. And
oh, yeah.
It would end up one of those evenings like, holy shit, what happened?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Some hangover movie scenes.
Yeah.
Big
yeah.
time.
Yeah,
Big
you
time.
Know, there's a lots parts of that movie that relate to my heavy drinking days, waking up in strange places. Someone's inevitably missing. Someone's injured. And then just the shit you would find on your phone. Like, wow. Holy shit.
I feel like you guys have like a secret like time capsule or album from Team 5. And it's like that. It's like episodes of Animal House, you know, chapter after chapter.
Oh, it just constantly plays on loop at the quarterdeck, like memory reels, just over and over.
The goal is every year you got to get into that video. It's like the goal to get into the highlight reel.
Oh, yeah. You know you did something spectacular if you made the fucking
Team 5
highlight. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I love it. But, crazy week, right? You know, we've been hearing from a lot of our friends and family, especially veterans and people you run with. You know, Clark and I were talking this week, and we're fired up too. But we thought we'd want to talk about Afghanistan, China, and some other things out there, but really put the perspective around the idea of controlling what you could control. So, you know, Clark, like, I'm going to first throw it out to you as we get into this subject. You've been really vocal recently on your IG page, which is awesome. But right now, like, you know, you you've shared some thoughts a couple days ago when all the news broke and the shit hit. Yes, it's still, you know, in the news, still top of mind, and yes, it's still escalating. I'm not going to say it's de-escalating. It's actually escalating. So where are you at now, right now, with your thoughts versus you posting like 3 days ago?
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's not really a surprise. You know, I vocalize it on IG, and you and I talked about it a bit. You know, my overall opinion is, you know, Afghanistan, anyone that's been there knew it was going to collapse the second we pulled out. Anyway, it's just, it's tough to see. And especially when you've been there, the sights, the sounds, the smell, smells like shit. I read somewhere like 28% of the air is fecal matter. It's really, it's like Shut a nasty up. Colorado. It is. Yeah.
Really?
Google it.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. They just dump their shit out into the streets, especially out in the outlying villages and stuff. And so, yeah, we used to do like little perimeter checks and stuff. And it was just, you're just walking through mud and it's human shit and smells horrible. It's all over your, that's God horrible. Forbid you slip and fall.
Oh,
you just
man.
Like, just fucking kill me now. This is so, I don't even want to live. This is horrible.
How do they not have the plague? Like, honestly.
I think their bodies just adapt to it, man. I don't know. Fuck. They're some Stone Age people, got some tough immune systems, man.
Are they COVID proof? Because I haven't heard any COVID shit in Afghanistan.
Yeah, dude. I think they stoned COVID to death out there, man. Fucking COVID's like, no. We can't go over there. We're just gonna go straight from China to the Western countries because these other countries are fucking scary.
Exactly.
Even COVID's smarter than that, man. Hey, COVID's smarter than the U.S. government. Fuck, man. So it's tough. I mean, obviously, you know, for especially those of us that were there, a lot of memories and stuff. And right away, my heart goes out to the women and children. That's any situation I've been in, whether it's work in the hood or Afghanistan or fucking mm-hmm. wherever. Mm-hmm. It's tough thinking of them, especially knowing that the males in many cultures are selfish pricks. And I don't feel so bad for cowardly males. But it's the women and children that I worry about, especially in places like Afghanistan. They just treat women horribly. One of the first memories I had was going from the airport to the embassy, and we're riding these armored vehicles. And every time we would pass a group of, we call them blue ghosts. They wear the blue burqa, so they look like little blue Pac-Man ghosts. So we call them BGs or blue ghosts. And every time our little motorcade of armored Suburbans would drive by, they would just like look away. Like really quick and twitchy. And I'm like, what? Fucking weird. Usually they stare at you, or as you drive by, they're kind of looking. But here they turn away sharply. And I'm like, that's fucking weird. Like all of them, a little group of them, one or two of them, whatever the deal is. And so I remember asking, what's up with these people? Yeah, right. This is like my first 30 seconds in country. And I'm already calling them, what's wrong with you people? What do you mean, you people?
You people?
My team leader explained that here, per Sharia law, if they get caught looking at an infidel, their husbands can legally kill them.
Oh my God.
And they know, you know, who's in these armored Suburbans, or they have an idea of, you know, basically who it is.
Sure, sure.
And so, yeah, they know that that's a motorcade of infidels. And so they still have that weird, and there's a lot of weird, it's obviously not an Arab culture, but the wonderful world of Islam is still very present there. And it just has very strict rules in that part of the country. Right. My time in Israel, believe it or not, the Palestinians are super laid back, man. I mean, their chicks are wearing tight jeans and tight sweaters with tig old bitties and high heeled shoes. They got the little Smurf scarf up top. But it's actually the most relaxed Muslim culture that I got to see with my own eyes, believe it or not, was the Palestinians. It's strange. In some ways, I'm not an expert by any means in Islam or Palestinians or what I saw in Afghanistan, but it was very strange just to see those females, the blue ghosts, the BGs, turn away like that. It was really a strange, you know, sensation. And you know, I'd done a couple years in Israel, so I had a little bit of familiarity with somewhat that part of the region, even though it's very different. But anyway, I very quickly learned that women and children are really second-class citizens in that society, that the men are just pretty brutal. Yeah. A lot of focus is on the Taliban right now. And a lot of the traditional Afghan people aren't that different. They might not be as extreme but it's still
the culture.
It's not like Taliban bad guys, Afghans good guys. It's still brutal culture, man.
Sure.
It's still they still fucking smack the shit out of them kids like they're nothing, and they still fuck goats and shit. Like, it's still weird shit, man. I hate to say it, it sounds negative, but
no, but it, dude, everything comes down to culture, right? So every place on this the map of the world, they have their own traditions and culture. I did hear, and maybe you could correct me if it's fact or not or truth, but you know, someone did once tell me that the value of their goats is actually more than the wife and the kids.
100%.
That's crazy.
100%. They just,
so your livestock is worth more than your family.
And it shows. I mean, they're always smacking their kids, kicking their kids. You know, the way they treat their women is even worse. Now, I don't know. That probably could depend on per province. You know, I heard the Northern Alliance guys, where we were at in the Panjshir Valley, did not necessarily interact with them directly a lot.
Yep.
Obviously, their leader was killed before I got in country, but they're a little more westernized, kind of like the Kurds in Iraq. You know, there are tribes of these peeps that I wouldn't say are more westernized. I would just say more modernized, a little more aware of the times, a little more respect for women. And but that country in particular, it really struck me the huge gap between males and the kids and the women. Females. And so that's the first thing I'm thinking of is, oh, man, you know, I just and seen images of all these airplanes packed with dudes. Like, where's the women and children at? Well, fuck these guys.
That's what's so ironic, right? Because the normally the chivalry of the code is, you know, children and ladies first, right? You know,
yeah, right.
I think maybe they just need to show the Titanic, the movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
come on, guys. You don't need to get on the boat. That was crazy. I think what bothers me, just being a history type of buff with this, is obviously all the facts you state, but I don't know, man. It's like we have a tough time learning our lessons. You know, I mean, look at Charlie Wilson's war. You know, we were there during when Russia had the conflict with Afghanistan. We helped the Mujahideen mm-hmm. or whatever, basically defeat Russia, and instead of, you know, saying, hey,
we just created Al Qaeda.
Yeah, well that's exactly him, because instead of saying you know, we're your partners, now we're going to help, you know, rebuild the country, help introduce, you know, maybe some Western ways and entrepreneurism, capitalism, all these things. It's like, sorry, peace, out of here. And you know, it's now we're doing the same thing again, but we're doing it with a, you know, very Vietnam, you know, exit, or I guess you could compare it to the Iranian exit when we lost our embassy. But this
we have
is
a bad habit of doing that. Yeah,
we do.
Repeating that, yeah,
we do. But I want to say something here, because again, this is not conducive of the Vibe tribe. This is not American right now, and I want our listeners around the world to know that we have bad actors in certain positions, and I think it's right now universal. A lot of countries have bad actors. It's not the citizens. It's not the everyday dudes. It's right now there's a lot of leaders out there doing a lot of wrong things. And, you know, I think what I want to say to our good vibes, our audience out there, is we're the ones that are united. We're the ones who are actually, you know, positive, good people that could potentially do things. We can't get mad. Again, control, you can control. We can't get mad because we have some assholes right now doing dumb shit stuff, right?
Yeah, I've seen that a lot with my friends, veterans and regular friends, especially with the Afghanistan stuff, very upset. And it kind of struck me, getting back to what you mentioned earlier about controlling what you can control, I'm like, I don't know why the average American is so upset about the situation in Afghanistan, other than, you know, the collapse is tough to watch. But those of us that have served there in any capacity know that that's inevitable. I think it could have been done, obviously, a lot better, but the way it collapsed was going to happen one way or another. But a lot of people are upset. I think a lot of it's just because, you know, obviously the mainstream media has jumped all over it.
Oh yeah,
it's kind of funny how everyone's like shocked by it. You know, I'm just like, it's like a frat party getting out of control or something. Like, oh my god, what do you mean they set the couch on fire? That's so weird. You know, like, well, no shit, they're drunk college kids. What do you expect? Well, I mean, that part of the world's tough. But I've seen a lot of my friends deeply upset by it. And you and I have talked offline about, you know, several of these topics, you know, the whole China thing and election thing and virus. I mean, there's so many things, especially within the last year and a half, 2 years, that have really put a lot of pressure on people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of it is you just can't worry about shit you can't control. Like, I don't know why the average American is really that upset about Afghanistan. And there's been lots of vets that have posted videos. Some of them, I think, have Stockholm syndrome. They have this romantic version of what Afghanistan was. I'm like, you didn't walk around in the poo-filled places like I did, just cursing every motherfucker you saw, wishing God would just burn this country to the fucking ground. I'm pretty sure every veteran was thinking that shit when they were there. But anyways, all this romantic shit about this and that, and we got to go in and save them. I'm like, yeah, no, my body armor is going to stay locked up in my gun safe. I'm not going back to that place.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but it's really, our psyche has been weakened so severely over the last, you know, year and a half, 2 years with all the shit going on that I think this is just yet another example of chaos. And I think it's, you know, chaos breeds chaos. I think people are really on edge and they see shit like that fall. And I think there's a small part of your mind, everybody's mind, that thinks, fuck, that could happen here. You know what I mean? You see how quickly things go to shit. Mm-hmm. You even see the headlines now about Australia and Melbourne, these protests, and these people are just like, fuck it, they've had enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's
shout out to our brothers.
Down under. Down under. Good job, man. Well, you know, at some point you can only kick a dog so much, he's going to bite you. I mean, That's exactly right. Dude, people are people. And, you know, this guise of overreach around the world has been in the name of safety. And they've guilted people into all kinds of weird things that just statistically are bullshit. I don't have to get into detail, you know.
Yeah, but you know, that's actually kind of interesting because, I mean, you're a safety dude, right? So there are rules and regulations on a job site, and your job is to make sure that people are following them and not being a dumb shit. Mm-hmm. That's pretty easy, man. I mean, we're all adults here. We have guidelines. They're called our local laws. They're our state laws, our federal laws. There's, you know, we can be adults, right? We can make adult decisions. Can our kid do this? Can our kid not do this? Can I do this? Can I not do this? I'm just tired of not being treated like an adult. And that's something I can control, is my behavior and my actions. I don't need someone, a bigger authority figure, telling me on how to control myself as an adult.
Exactly. I think that's what's rubbing people the wrong way, is it's just, you know, obviously at first we weren't sure what was going on, so certain things had to happen. But as we learned more about the situation, we should have adjusted, you know, our reaction to it and been realistic about it, because it would be kind of like being a strict parent, having all these rules in place that just don't make sense. And people, kids themselves, will start to catch on to that. People themselves, on a national level or international level, will eventually become smart to that stuff, because we do communicate. As much as you want to filter the media and social media, you know, there's plenty of ways people communicate, even if it's through phone calls or other news outlets, and people are sick of that stuff. And so I think we're seeing it around the world with Australia and Afghanistan, and even tensions here at times, which luckily they haven't really flared up in a little while. I truly believe in the end that good will win. Good people will win. I think good people are just slow to get in the mix, because a lot of good people have a lot to risk and a lot to lose.
Sure.
Yeah. Excuse me. So it takes a little bit longer for those folks to get involved. But when they do, they're in it to win it and committed. And so a lot of the conversations I've had with my friends, I'm like, look, don't watch the news. You know, you don't want to be ignorant. You want to know what's going on in the world, but you really have to seek some other sources. And then it's good to be aware of things, but don't stress about them. Don't focus on them. For example, Afghanistan or even Australia. It's not going to really affect you personally. I mean, I have a brother that lives there with his two kids, so I pay attention to it and I call him and talk to him. He's in Sydney. It's a different province or state or whatever. Melbourne's in Victoria, I believe. So it's not as strict, but you know, it's good to be aware of stuff, but I'm not stressing about it. And a lot of my friends I've talked to are just really like stressed. A lot of my veteran friends are like, dude, are we going back? Let's just fucking parachute in and fucking kill everybody. I'm like, dude, first of all, I'm a safety guy that's almost 50 years old. I ain't jumping into nowhere, dude. Especially back
Wait
there.
Wait a second. I bet you'll jump into those balls pits, you know, at like the Chuck E. Cheese's and stuff.
I might, dude. That's about as high as this jumps ever. Yeah. You saw the video of me going down the slide. I almost died.
Dude, I was impressed.
I almost died on that one, man.
No, but yeah, you're right where there are and again, emotion sometimes gets the best of us. You know, I heard this analogy or, you know, metaphor or whatever of kind of like what Afghanistan is. Afghanistan is that slow dying terminal patient, right? And the doctor knows, like, hey, listen, you know, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter, you know, how hard I try. The end result is you're going to die, okay?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Afghanistan's kind of like that. So if you think about it, the past 20 years...
It's just been on life support, just keeping it going.
It's been on life support. So at some point...
Feeding it through fucking tubes and shit. Yeah.
But guess what? Now, through the other lens, I guess the doctor could be like, oh, man, woe is me, you know, fuck, you know, it just died. But most doctors, they look at stuff like this, be like, you know what? I kept this going for 20 years. I kept this person doing it. And that's why I think every veteran out there, or people in country, or even people that aligned with us, or people around the world, like the Australians helped us and the British and everything else, is guys,
yeah, yeah,
we kept a dying patient alive for 20 years.
That's, probably wasn't a good thing, though. We probably made it suffer. Kind of like I just put my dog down and be keeping my dog alive for 20 years, you know? Like, everyone that served there knew, as soon as we're done propping it up, it's going to fall.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the irony of the situation, right? Because that's why when I heard someone put it in that perspective, I was like, holy shit, man, that is so true. Because it doesn't matter what anyone does. Then the day, it's...
As soon as you unplug, it's going to go out. It's going to die. Exactly what happened. And just like that terminal patient. Yep. You unplug it, it's dying.
Yep.
And you know, I thought of something the other day. It was funny, though. Is I'm like, aren't these the fuckers that beat the Soviets?
Mm-hmm.
How come they can't beat the Taliban? I mean, the Soviets to me seem a lot tougher. I mean, the Red Army was huge. It had tanks. It had like attack helicopters. It had Spetsnaz. Yeah. But the Taliban, they're scared of these motherfuckers. I mean, there's something weird about the Taliban. They got some type of mind control, you know, like the psyche about these people. Something, because these fuckers could click up and whoop the Soviets' ass. In their prime in the fucking 80s when the Soviets were all fucking tough. And now these fucking Taliban dude, the Talibizzles, fucking come rolling in and they just bitch right out to him. I'm like, that don't make sense.
No.
Especially after 20 years of training. We just trained you for your fucking boxing match for 20 years. And as soon as the bell rang, he fucking threw in the towel and ran. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, look, with all the technology that us and the allies have, I mean, one could argue that this could have been done really fast if certain methods were deployed. But then you have to look at the other arguments. Like, does a 20-year war, who does it benefit? Is this, you know, there's a lot of money involved.
It's all about money.
Exactly. So,
and we knew, I think most of us predicted, not necessarily the return of the Taliban, but just like what happened when the Soviets pulled out, they fought each other for 10 years. They fought the Soviets for 10 years, and they fought themselves for 10 years. Basically been fighting us in one way or another for 20 years.
Yep.
We also, you mentioned before, excuse me, we have that failed Vietnam era strategy of, all right, we're going to make friends and win the hearts and minds and be at war at the same time. Yeah. It doesn't fucking work, man. We weren't making friends with German people in World War II. We were there, put D's and A's, dropping buildings in fucking downtown Berlin. We were firebombing the fucking shit out of everybody. Like, there was none of this hearts and minds shit. So who's our enemy? Now, obviously, in this specific case of Afghanistan, our excuse to go there anyway was bin Laden. Whether we should have just got him, or if we found out he wasn't there, we should have bounced. But you just can't sit there and make friends with a group of motherfuckers. And then who's the enemy? Who's our friend? And it reminded me, I was going to do a little rant video about this because a lot of my veteran buddies are making these Stockholm syndrome videos about fucking, you know, their partner force and how they were such great dudes. And I see this video pop up, a army infantry officer was talking about when he was in Afghanistan, basically his TERP was responsible for planting a roadside after this TERP was with this platoon for a year and a half on every fucking mission. They got hit by an IED, killed four of this dude's men and wounded four and killed one, I believe. Anyway, they find out it's the fucking TERP. The TERP was funded by the fucking Pakistanis and got explosive. Anyway, it was basically to, hey, we're going to be here at this time, and got him killed. And so he was like, fuck those people. They're not your friends. So it reminded me of a story and I wanted to share with IG. It just, there's been enough going on. In Iraq, I was part of a training mission. I've talked about it several times. The project we were on was called ERU, Emergency Response Unit. And our mission was to create an Iraqi tier one unit, which, whatever, there's nothing tier one about fucking any Iraqi. Well, that's another story. However, during one of our sessions, it was a dry country, so there's no alcohol, but during one of our drinking sessions, and I have a picture of this dude, they called him my Iraqi twin. He just looked like a dirty tan version of me. He was kind of funny, but I was like, oh, that's fun, cool. But during one of our sessions, man, he told me, he said, you know, you shouldn't trust me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, if my imam at my mosque told me to kill you, I would kill you.
Fuck.
I just want you to be careful. Don't trust us. And at first I took it as like a threat and I was kind of upset. And I told him, I said, well, that's the difference between me and you is if the priest at my church told me to kill you, I would tell my priest to fuck off. I wouldn't even consider it. And no priest would ever even say those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, my religion doesn't teach us, you know, I know Christianity has kind of a shady past. That's how the world was. I understand about the Crusades but modern Christianity, modern Catholicism, I was never taught to go kill anyone or hurt anyone. And, you know, you always learn Jesus was like a cool hippie dude, be cool with everyone, whatever.
Yeah. Dude, that's water into wine. That's pretty sweet.
Dude, he just walked around and drank with his 12 best friends. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? Shit. You know?
That was the ultimate friend.
But I was very surprised by this dude's comments. And at first I thought it was kind of a threat, but then I thought, dude, he's actually warning me, you know, like, don't fucking trust us.
That's crazy.
Happens all the time. There are stories of people on training missions like myself and the students just turn around on the range and whack the instructor. So I actually told my team leader about this and we came up with a guardian angel policy. When we were ever on the range, we had guardian angels, which were Americans with rifles, you know, whatever the ratio was, it was enough to cover us if we had 10 students, 50 students, whatever the training was. We had dudes standing back with rifles, you know, because oftentimes we were just out there with gun belts and handguns or whatever it was.
Yeah.
We had to adjust our strategy because of that, a threat, basically. But I'm glad he did. I think he was giving me a heads up, like, hey, dude, you know, maybe he's heard some talkings amongst the people, like, hey, fuck these guys. I mean, we had weapons going missing all the time. And so it kind of, between that Army infantry officer's comments on Tucker Carlson's show and then my experience with my Iraqi twin, they're not your friends, man. You know, I'm listening to another podcast. Friendly. Well, I'm listening to a podcast now about the Blackwater Massacre. I think it was in 2007. Anyway, the Iraqi police chief that really fucked up the initial investigation ended up being an Iranian-sponsored terrorist, they found out 7 years later. And this is an Iraqi police chief. So what Americans, I think they realize, but they don't really get, and some of these veterans talking these lovey-dovey fucking endless summer stories about these fuckers. I'm like, dude, first of all, I know when you were in country, you were talking shit about all these dudes, because we all were. And two, these fond memories, these motherfuckers really ain't your friends. Now, yes, were there specific examples of wonderful people we worked with? Yes, but those were just amazing individuals.
Yeah,
they don't get a pass by saying, oh, all the Afghan commandos were great. All the Afghan army, dude, most of them were probably fucking Taliban, dude. Maybe that's why they fucking fell so quickly. You know, I don't know, but I just was a little frustrated with the veteran community response. And
well, of course, I mean, everyone's entitled to different opinions and feelings, things like that. And I think it goes back to what we're talking about. It's control. You can control. I mean, you can't control, like you said, that interpreter. Whatever his thoughts, his mission, his objectives, I mean, it really came down to him, right? It is that self-control that, like he told you, if his imam said, fucking go wipe them all out, he would have done it.
He would, yeah.
And you know what? What could you, I mean, you could react to the situation. But I think
it's a perspective thing mentally, because we like to, you know, it's kind of like my wife thinks the dog is like a person. You know what I mean? She projects human emotions into the, and I get it. I do the same thing. I love them. But it's the same thing with other cultures. We project our American culture onto other cultures and just think they understand what the fuck we're talking about and that they're on board with it. And there is some parroting. There is some feedback from that. Just like you think your dog is talking to you when he barks, I love you. Oh, yeah, he said, I love you. You know, I hear that shit all the time. I'm like, he's just barking at you because you're being an idiot.
Right.
You know,
or basically he just licked his balls and he just wants to give you a smooch to get the taste off.
Yeah. My new puppy licks her poop, man. I'm like, oh, and I forget. And I'm giving her kisses like 10 minutes later. I'm like, oh, poo-poo kisses.
Yep, totally, man. You know, but to that point, Clark, I think what's kind of crazy is it doesn't matter what nation, it doesn't matter, go back centuries, is just, it's unfortunate that part of the world, the Middle East, is in again, it's tribal legacy,
very much so,
community. I mean, you
very
know,
traditional.
It is
very, and, I mean, they're still wearing Bible clothes and shit. It's just how it is. And so you got to wrap your brain around that.
Exactly.
When you do that, though, you have that light bulb moment. Like, well, what the fuck are we doing here then? Because they're not going to change.
Think about it, man. So, you know, here we want to say, OK, let's put our process of government in Afghanistan. Fundamentally, that can't work when you have tribal mentality with tribal leaders. So this guy's the big boss here in this mountain region. Yeah. This guy's the big boss. And you think they're going to respect some dude called the president just because?
No, it's a joke.
Exactly.
Even when I was there, Karzai was in power. He had no power outside his palace walls. Not even in Kabul.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not even in Kabul. You know, it's unfortunate. But there was a time. I mean, it's not all doom and gloom, but there was a time in certain areas. You know, women were going back to school again, always going back to, especially women's rights. You know, kids are kids. I love them. Kids are pretty tough. And there's no excuse or reason or justification for being mean or hurting little kids. But really, the abuse of women really struck me, or the mistreatment of women. And there was a period of time where it looked like that aspect might, but it always reverts back to the way it was. Iraq. Afghanistan, it's just women are second class citizens in that country. I would love to drop off Hillary Clinton in the middle of Panjshir Valley if I had superpowers. Sprinkle, sprinkle, bam, bitch.
Wait, it's kind of like
be in some burqa walking around going, ah, you know who I am?
I can picture it's a Dorothy clicking her ruby red slippers. You're clicking your combat boots.
Yes. They would be red too, though. Sparkly red combat boots. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, that would be funny, man. I mean, that'd be terrible. I mean,
Oh, God. Oh, the NSA is going to shut us down. We're going to have internet problems again soon.
Gosh. Oh, wait, listen, what can you do? But
so you mentioned before, though. About, and so did I, about controlling what you can control. So my advice to my friends was, look, don't worry about all that shit. Yes, pay attention to current events around the world, but you got to just focus on, and we've touched upon this on our show many times.
Yeah.
Is, you know, your family unit, whatever your daily world is, you know, maybe you're heavily involved at work. And so your coworkers are, you could be young and single. You don't have a family, but your coworkers are everything. Whatever your inner circle is, focus on that, man. Don't get so wrapped up with all this other crap.
I think a lot of people actually forget what they can't control. I mean, if you were to actually take some time and like pencil to paper, I mean, think about it. You could control your health. You could control your time. You could control your effort, your habits, your attitude, your friends, your mindset, on and on and on. And I think the big problem right now, and because, God, I don't know what it is, man, or when this button flipped, but we live right now in a society where it's like doom and gloom and the news loves it and social media.
It's information overload.
It's
information overload. All we get is bombarded.
Yes.
Through our phones, through our computers, through our TVs, through all these. Like I was listening to something the other day where they said that all this shit is like alpha waves, all this noise and technology and shapes and things we look at. But when you go into nature, it's the beta waves. The way trees look against the sky and leaves are kind of blurry and things. And it's just, that's the colors and shapes that we're meant to look at that relax us, and that we're meant to like stare at a lake for hours or the ocean or a mountain. We're not meant to look at this phone where it's just constantly flashing
shitting
shit.
On us.
It just, well, it just bombards your brain with alpha waves, and we're supposed to be out in nature chilling.
That's a good
looking
point.
At clouds slowly move by. And those are like the beta waves that your brain thrives on, where these alpha waves of just constant bombardment of information, it's destroying who we genetically have been for hundreds of thousands of years. It's very damaging.
Well, I think what's concerning too is all the information that comes over either, like you said, the apps, the internet, or the TV is constantly putting us in a quote, what if mode. What if China does this? What if Afghanistan? What if sucks? Because what we need to do is, if you start to get in that loop of what if, I mean, you're going to start to create.
Well, yeah. What if monkeys fly out of my butt?
No, but exactly. I mean, but there are people.
They will. What if that shit to death?
They will. But what needs to happen is we need to get into more of a me mode. You know, what can I do right now that, again, I control? That's me. I mean, be selfish at that point.
You got to shrink your world, man. With all this information we have, we're way too internationally involved. We're way too worried about, like I said, my friends, even family members, worried about Afghanistan. Look, why? There are people in the world that are just worried about what they're going to eat next. Where's my next meal come from? We need to scale our shit back, reel it in, dial it back into what's important. Did I give my kid a hug today? Did I tell my boss, thank you for this opportunity, or whatever it is? Did I tell my wife she looks pretty today? Or did you tell your husband he's got the biggest hog you've ever seen? You know,
that goes a long way,
right? You just made a dude's day. Like, oh, yeah, it is. You don't give him that little ego for a couple minutes and then just say, nah, just kidding. But seriously, it's those little things that you can tell people and be grateful and just, man, did I tell my kid enough times today, or just whatever the scenario is. Instead of worrying, if we just focus on a little inner circle, or I like what you said even better, yourself.
You have to start with yourself. For me, or you can't take care of anyone else.
Well, you get little small victories. If you say, I mean, whatever your little daily goals might be, or I'm going to be more polite, or I'm going to do more push-ups today, or I'm going to eat cleaner today. You know what? When everyone goes out and fucking stuffs their face full of McDonald's, I'm going to bring in a nice tuna salad to work, or whatever it is.
But you control that.
You can control that, and you'll get a small victory, and you'll feel fucking good. Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go run 2 miles today after work, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
When you accomplish those things, you're going to feel so wonderful. For me, I try to not cuss so much sometimes, or whatever it is. But these little goals, these little small victories, instead of stressing out about shit halfway around the world.
Wait, I now know how you pay for the guitars. You have a swear jar.
Oh, God. I would be a fucking millionaire, dude. I don't know how I would fund a swear jar.
Well, that's how I thought you're funding all these guitars. It's like, you know, Clark's getting a guitar.
Every time I cuss, I put a dollar,
exactly,
a quarter, a penny in the swear jar.
It's a penny. Oh, man. I would be, see, I was just going to say I would be fudged, you know, but I caught myself, man.
Dude, did I tell you? There was one podcast I did where they put it on live radio. So he said, hey, listen, I mean, we can talk however you want to talk, but please try not to swear, only because my guy has to go and bleep them out, because this does end up on a radio station where they can't cuss and stuff. And he said, so far the reigning champion's Pat McNamara. If you listen to his interview, really? It's like beep, 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 beep. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, I will be fine. Just not realizing shit from shit. He goes, I think you might have given Pat a run for his money. We're going to have to, when we edit it, I'll get back to you. Dude, like 2 days later, he says, you got the title, bro. Yeah! You caused, and he told me, I would be guessing, but he told me how many times they had to. I was like, holy shit. I had no idea, just in casual conversation. So that is actually one of my daily like things I try to focus on. And then when I talk without cussing, I just think it feels like.
It doesn't work.
No, it feels awkward, like I'm at some type of like how to be proper school. Like,
well, you don't abuse it. I mean, you know how to use the art of swearing. There's a difference.
It just comes out. You know, I've got a sailor's mouth.
Yes, you do. Awesome. Well, you know what? I think the best thing to do in these situations, and again, it's just, there's not another week that goes by where it's like, fuck, man, who knows? You know,
It but gets weirder every week.
I think. What I try to do is, you know, I take a mental time out and be like, okay, wait a second. Let's chill out for a second. Are these worries wasting my energy? Is it causing anxiety? Is it wasting opportunity? And if I say yes to all three of those, then it's like, dude, all right, fucking, there's no need to play the what if game, because again, do I want to spend the next hours going chasing that rabbit and then again causing anxiety? And then what am I not working on right now to actually make me better?
Is there even a solution for it? If these are problems governments can't solve.
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to do laying in bed at fucking 10 o'clock at night trying to solve the Afghan fucking withdrawal. It, you're not. It's crazy.
No, not unless you're tasked with that job. And then it is your problem. And that is something you're going to have to solve and control because you're part of the problem in the solutions team. But otherwise...
Hey, you know what helps? Rub one out. Eat a chocolate chip cookie. You'll go right to bed, man. Yeah.
Yeah, totally, man. Sometimes you got to unleash the fury, right?
That's right. Oh, the underestimated power of a good session, you know?
I think that's what got you through Buds, to be honest.
It did. Yeah. And that's, yeah. Well, you got to leave your mark, you know? Oh, yeah. I went to Buds with Clark. Oh, yeah. I know that guy.
Let's see. Any other
lessons? Oh, by the way, I did own Afghanistan, just FYI.
Oh, nice. Oh, wait a second. Come on. You got to give a story. You can't just say that.
Oh, well, dude, you know, every day I was in country, I rubbed it out somewhere. I mean, you got to, it's like, I'm not going to not jerk off. I mean, yeah, you know, hey, dude.
Well, seriously, man, how else are you going to calm down, you know, with all that stress and anxiety and fucking everything going on, right?
Yeah, it is a stress reliever, man. I think that's why, you know, dudes are just fucking speed fisting it over there, man. You know,
dude, that's crazy. You did a combat jerk. It's crazy.
Several times. Yeah. Thank you, J-Lo. J-Lo always had my six.
I got me, J-Lo, man. You have too many stories of J-Lo.
J-Lo is awesome. I'd love to get him on. I think he's still out there doing big boy stuff. But whenever he's done being fucking super cool, dude, I would love to have him on. And just especially our several funny stories with this dude. I did the trilogy with them. So I was in Israel, Afghanistan, and Iraq with this dude.
Oh, shit. Well, we could have him on and blur out his face.
With a digital voice, yeah. Well, we are the Jack Black and Kyle Gass combination for sure, man.
I love it.
The fucking hot mess. It's always talking to me this shit. And he's always like going along with it. Like, all right, fuck.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Poor J-Lo.
If you're out there listening, J-Lo, he is. Because he messaged me a while back and said, man, you know, listen to your show, but kind of fucking weird hearing my name pop up all the time. You know, I'm still working, right? I'm like, nobody knows it's you.
It's J-Lo.
J-Lo, I don't think they call you that no more. I'm the one that gave you that fucking nickname. Come on, man. Big Puerto Rican ass, you know?
Fantastic. Any last thoughts before we head into the courtroom?
Yeah, don't stress about shit, everybody. You know, Ryan and I just wanted to have kind of kick around the idea ball and talk about that stuff because we both had friends and family affected by current events.
Yeah.
And also just other shit that's been building up. And we thought, you know, let's just have an episode and remind everyone to control what you can control. Don't stress about stupid shit. Stay away from all the shit going on around the world. Just, you know, be grateful and appreciate your little inner circle there and your day-to-day accomplishments. And that's what I have to do. I have to constantly recalibrate myself and refocus. And then I start to feel good again, not getting all stressed out about shit that's so far out of my wheelhouse. It's ridiculous. So we just wanted to remind you guys to do that and have some fun about masturbating with J-Lo in Afghanistan.
There you go. And just remember, controlling what you control. If you don't like things going on at the highest powers, start locally. Get involved with the school board, get involved with running locally, get involved with running for mayors or helping those type of campaigns. I mean, it's hard to change.
Vote for Clark Impostato, sheriff. Ooh,
congressman. Oh, wait, no, sheriff. Oh,
I want to be a sheriff.
Okay, cool.
I want to be able to fuck people up. I don't want to sit there and yell at Nancy Pelosi.
Well, you're already a judge, man, so the sheriff is special.
Yeah. Intergalactic judge / sheriff.
Oh, shit, that's awesome. Dude, why don't you get that gavel ready there, sir, because...
Yeah, we
got to
do that.
We got some stuff. Yeah. All right, you got it?
All right. Whoa, what is that? Hey, shit. Okay, here we go.
Ready.
It's ready.
Court is in session. I love it. Well, This first one, Your Honor, takes me back to some of my old stomping ground. We are going to Chi-Town. I don't think we've been to Chicago.
Oh, dude. Yeah, Chi-Town. How does that not make our news bullet? That's a crazy, yeah. Damn.
Well, because unfortunately, there's not a lot of stupid stuff. There's just a lot depressing gangster stuff.
Shooting.
Right?
Yeah, it's all, yeah. There's no funny. I'm glad something funny came out of Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, so get this. The headline reads, man bites off motorist's nipple during road rage incident on Lakeshore Drive. And, you know, for anyone who visits Chicago, Lakeshore is the one awesome road that runs across along the lake. So get this. This is crazy, okay? Talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So there is an off-duty Chicago police dude, and he's got his buddy in the car, and this other guy swiped the car. So, you know, swipe the cop's car. So the cop's, you know, trying to run alongside him and, you know, saying, hey, listen, man, pull over because we need to exchange insurance information. Oh, and by the way, I'm an off-duty cop. So the dude, you know, he does pull over, you know, and what happens next is obviously it escalated. You know, there was a brief struggle with the off-duty cop, which is just terrible. But then his buddy came out to assist. And this dude bit his friend's nipple off.
Fuck, that has to hurt.
No, I mean, not a nipple.
Yeah, I'm
reading this.
It like says Mike Tyson biting an earlobe. Yeah.
It says tore it completely off.
Well, I've had my nipples pierced. It hurts. I can't imagine getting it bit off.
The whole thing, man. And that's a big bite. That's not a small bite. I mean, it's a nipple, right?
Did they reattach it?
Does it say anything here about that? I mean, God, that's a good... I mean, you got to get that fucker on ice, right? So
nipple surgery.
Yeah, so... did he get him? He better not have gotten away with this. So, anywho, Your Honor, keep in mind here, you got a couple things at play. So, one, he not only assaulted somebody, he assaulted an off-duty cop.
Yeah.
He then bit the nipple off of, you know, the cop's friend. He sideswiped the car. You got a lot of stuff going here, Your Honor. So
that sounds like Chicago. It does not disappoint me.
Right, right.
Holy shit.
I'm curious. I mean,
that's probably just a Tuesday night in Chi-Town. Fuck.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Whew. Man.
You got to keep the nipple in mind. You got to keep the nipple in mind.
Yeah, the nipple makes it unique.
Yes. I'm
trying to think how I could punish his nipples.
Honey badger.
Well, I was thinking something like tie him to a tree, put honey on his nipples, and let like ants and bears bite on his nipples.
Yeah,
I don't know. It gets.
Oh,
it's just
that's mean.
Oh God, that's the nipple thing makes it weird. I don't know.
Is that where you just take that like lobster, you know, and you just
pinch his nipples? A little nipple lobster claw.
Lobster claw.
Or as my wife would say, lobster craw. Dude, hey, side note. So the other day, I heard that the challenge and reply. So a challenge and reply in the military is, if let's say you're going to go out and do reconnaissance, you're going to go check something out. We have a challenge and reply so that if I hear someone in the bushes, I could say, whatever, Denver, and you better say Broncos, because if you don't, I'm going to light up them bushes.
Right.
So in Vietnam, supposedly, and maybe I could be getting this, it's got to be Vietnam. Anyway, it was Rolling River, and the reply was lollipop, because Asians, their L's and their R's, there's no way a Vietnamese could say lollipop. Rolling River lollipop. So I'm like, let me test this theory out of my half-Thai kid. Hey, TJ, I want you to say Rolling River lollipop.
Oh, no.
I actually filmed it, but I'm too, like, I can't put it on Instagram. It's so funny. They can't say Rolling River lollipop because of all the L's and R's, man. It was so fucked up. So I apologize for making fun of Asians. But for the record, as you people know, I am absolutely in love with Asia. I have banged several Asian hookers who I love them all. And two of my wives have been Asian, and I have a half Asian daughter. So
you have
proud
every
of my...
right to say whatever you want, basically.
I'm not sure it works that way anymore, but I thought I would at least explain it. I'm just making fun of my own people. In fact, I have a buddy that's half Korean that said, don't worry, Clark, you're more Asian than I am. I was like, well, thanks. You're like the white guy that pretends he's black. I'm the white guy that pretends to be Asian. So I think I'm like the Eminem to them. You know what I mean? They're like, all right, we accept this dude. He's a little fucked up, but he's one of us.
Yep. Yep. That's awesome, man. So,
sorry, back to Nipple Guy. Still don't know what to do.
I don't know. Are you going to have to do a continuance?
Continuance. Yeah. That. The nipple adds a wrinkle. It does. Wow. I'm gonna order a continuance. That one caught me off guard. Well played, Chi-Town. Well played.
Well played. And guess what? When we post this on the IG, if you have any ideas for a sentence, let us know.
What would you do to nipple biter? Yeah.
I would love to read some of these. All right, next, my friend.
Maybe he ate it, like he swallowed it.
Oh, like a Hannibal Lecter type of shit?
Yeah, he ate the guy's.
Oh my god, he's a nipple eater. Ugh, yeah. I don't want to go to pizza with that dude. Just to see him order pepperoni. Fuck that.
Ew.
Well, guess where we're going?
Florida.
Yes, buddy.
I love you, Florida. You're so wild.
They do
silly shit.
So the funny thing is, where this next area is, I've been there. It's it's a cool area, but I just love saying it. Punta Gorda. I love
that bitch.
No, that's the name of the area. Punta. Gorda.
That means fat bitch in Spanish.
Does it?
Yes. Swear to God. Google
no.
it. Yeah. Puta is bitch. Gorda is fat. Or in the male derivative, gordo. Gordo puto would be like, they say with puto gordo or whatever. That means fat bitch in Spanish for females. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There's actually a town named that?
Punta. P-U-N-T-A. Gorda.
Oh no. Punta. Yeah, it's different. Puta.
Puta. Okay.
But all the people that... Everybody laughing at my Spanish, but yeah, Punta Gorda, not Punta, but yeah,
Punta.
Sorry.
All right, well, this woman basically showed a little too much, got a little freaky deaky during a jail visit here.
Ooh, I liked it. Didn't we just do one of these where like the prison guard was fucking dudes?
I'm telling you, what's going on in prison now? This is crazy.
I kind of want to get arrested.
Right? So this chick, Danielle, 38 years old, went to go visit an inmate, I guess because of COVID and stuff. They're doing more of these video virtual visitations type of thing. But you still have to go there. It's like still a video thing. But you still have to go to the facility, right? So,
yeah, but you can't get no like covert hand jobs over the video.
There's no ninja rubbing tugs.
No. Foot job in the fucking visitor room or something.
So, but you got to imagine this because it always amazes me where people, and it doesn't matter what you do, if you work at a convenience store or you happen to be visiting the jail, like people forget the fucking cameras are there. That always surprises me. It's like, how do you not know the camera? So, anyways, this chick, she begins touching herself, you know.
Nice.
You know, a little, you know, finger fringing going on. And then she's starting to lift her breast, her shirt up with her boobs and stuff. Anyways, unfortunately, because she exposed her sexual organs in a public place, she was arrested and placed in jail. So, Your Honor, I thought I had to bring this to dude's court. I mean, because...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, dude, you're behind bars. Here comes a girl. I mean,
No, I think that's a false arrest. No, I don't think she should be arrested for that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna set her free.
Yeah,
she
I mean,
be
the dude's
arrested for that. You're having a little fun. Yeah,
you're the cops. They're watching it so that you know that they had a blast watching it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Who cares?
The convict is a happier dude now. He's not.
Everyone's happy.
Shit.
Yeah.
She's happy because she's being like the ninja blender on herself.
Yeah.
Right?
Being little Miss Nasty, it's all right.
I don't think it's that bad. You know?
No, I'd set her free. That's a false arrest.
Yeah, so we're sorry, Danielle. You know, hopefully when you get out of Charlotte County jail. County.
What'd you do? Masturbated in jail, so they threw me in jail? okay. It's a little
basically,
weird.
That's what happened. That's kind of crazy if you think about it.
Poor lady.
All right, this is not so much... This is just something I had to bring to the court's attention, because sometimes I feel I have to bring things to Your Honor's attention that is just so fucking weird.
Oh, shit.
You know, if he came in court, I don't even know what to do, or like, who knows, but anyways...
Would you find, like, a naked picture of Pelosi or something?
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Did you have to plant that? Did you have to plant that? What is wrong with you?
Oh, everybody in the Vibe Tribe, just take 5 seconds.
Nope.
Picture Pelosi naked, topless.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that scene from Something About Mary with the binoculars.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Anywho, we're going to another stomping ground of mine. I don't know what's going on with the places I used to live and stuff like that. We're going to Michigan.
Nice.
And am I kidding when I read this? Man gets 6 kidney beans. I'm going to repeat that. 6 kidney beans.
Okay.
Stuck in his dick.
In his dick.
So wait, you think you'd learn the lesson by just maybe putting a little bit of a kidney bean? But not only did he do one, this fucker put 6 in his pee hole.
Dude, he don't deserve to have a dick. Like, why are you stuffing stuff
dude,
up your dick hole?
It's a kidney bean. That's not small.
No, they're good size. I mean, you shouldn't put anything in your dick hole.
So this says here.
6 of them. Like, what?
Yeah, so a 30-year-old
man. Was he trying to grow something?
They don't know. So this 30-year-old man in Michigan, he jammed 6 kidney beans into his wiener. His plan was.
Was he like Jack and the Beanstalk or something?
You're going to appreciate this because you were the pig gunner. Okay.
Oh, no.
His plan was to cast out the beans when he climaxed. But something went terribly wrong. I'm reading this, I swear to you.
Holy fuck.
He went to go.
Yeah. He was going to shoot some kidney beans out.
Can you believe that?
Did he, what YouTube videos is he watching? Like, how do you get this idea? And why kidney beans?
Again, for the life of me, I don't know this, but anyways, can you imagine? So the dude obviously had to go to the emergency room, and I don't know what that's like. Can you go to the emergency room and,
I got beans in my dick hole.
Yeah, but there's no excuse for that. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I tripped and I fell on 6 beans.
I would just say, sorry, dude, you're stupid. You don't deserve to have a dick. I hope it falls off. Get out of my emergency room.
Yes. Yes.
It's crazy.
But
I don't know.
Isn't it? I mean, it's just so sad because the guy is tying up, you know, ER resources because he's a moron. Basically, but
yeah, dude, why don't you? I mean, it's got to be extremely painful.
Oh my
god, why 6? Like, you wouldn't stop after the first one and be like, this is a bad idea. Like, oh, let me just put 5 more in there.
Oh my gosh,
crazy.
Get this. So, oh god,
were they frozen? Like, how?
No, so they really didn't know.
They started to sprout,
but they didn't really know on how they were going to get out of there. I mean, they do have some extraction tools. They're like the little claws that they can.
I
side story, and this is a gross story. Side story. Okay. I had a buddy that I worked with in Canada who was dating this chick, and he decided to have a little backdoor fun with her. About 3 or 4 days later, you know, he's having peeing problems, you know. He's like, you know, Ryan, he's like, dude,
little piece of corn went up his dick hole.
Well, so he's having problems peeing, and I was like, dude, you probably just had the clap or something, who knows what you got. I go, let's go to the doctor. So we go to one of them Canadian clinics, which are awesome, and the doctor came in the room. He's like, I don't know how to tell you this, son. He goes, what have you been doing? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, son, you have a popcorn kernel.
Oh, stuffed up his pee hole.
Stuck up. So they took this mini gadget, this claw thing, man. But can you, this shit happens. Can you believe these guys? So the doctors, they had to numb this guy's wiener and basically fucking milk it out. I'm reading this article.
Oh,
I'm not
God.
Making this shit up.
Milk out the kid. Imagine that's your job. Basically, I got to milk kidney beans out of dude's dick.
That's where the senior dude, just like in any, it doesn't matter if a cop, a fireman,
hey,
or
new guy,
a military.
Yeah.
That's
it's
right.
A new guy
that's
job,
the
yeah.
med student coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got wiener duty. Oh man! Well,
I tell you what, if I had to milk this dude's dick to get kidney beans out, I would make it intentionally painful as fuck.
Yes. Oh gosh. Anywho, Your Honor, I just had to bring that to your attention because sometimes I know you like to write laws too, so I have to bring up the stupid stuff.
Yeah. No.
So it helps influence your decisions on things. So I hope you appreciate that one. So.
I will never be able to eat kidney beans for as long as I live.
No, and for any of our listeners out there, the next time you look at a kidney bean, just remember 6 of them. Dude. I mean, fuck. Anywho, hey, do we have any ishmails?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Well, okay.
Oh no.
I don't know how to reply to that. Yes and no. Okay.
I might save them.
You might save them for next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do that because we do have 1, 2, 3, looks like 4.
Okay.
But I didn't really get a chance to go through them. So, but right. I did earmark them because I was scanning through them. So, but yeah, we shall save them. And yeah, we won't disappoint.
All right. Well, guys, I'm sure it'll be an interesting week. I'm sure that everything we're talking about will just get a lot more hyper. But
yeah. Yeah. Do your best to reel it in and just control what you control and don't stress out about shit that's so far out of your control that you're just you're fucking up your day. Don't let it happen. I know I got sucked into a little bit, and a lot of people that I love and care about have gotten sucked into current events, but you just gotta, like I said, dial it back in and focus on what's really important at your inner circle and fuck everybody else.
Amen. Well said, brother. So Vibe Tribe, have a great week. Clark, love you, brother.
Love you. See ya. See ya, guys.
All right.